Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Bob Elson. We're set as usual for our Saturday afternoon show. A little bit on the cooler side today, not exactly what you would call ideal baseball weather, but it isn't too bad at that. The Cubs are at home, and the White Sox are on the road. They're at New York at Yankee Stadium to take on, well, the former mighty Yankees. They don't dominate baseball the way they did for many, many years. But it should be an exciting game, and remember that game, you can hear it, see it tonight, and the Cubs this afternoon. We're going to talk baseball today with an old friend of ours for many, many years, and a good baseball man, Rudy Schaefer, who is the vice president and business manager of the Chicago White Sox. We have many things to talk about. He'll be with us in just about 1 minute. We're delighted to have an old friend, Rudy Schaefer. The White Sox is our guest today. Our careers have sort of paralleled themselves, and we've been running into each other in the major league cities for many, many years. And as most of you know, he is the business manager of the White Sox. And he and Bill Veeck have been going as an entry for how many years, Rudy?
Well, about 40 years. Actually, it doesn't seem that long, but it's been a lot of fun, and I guess we must compliment each other because we both have pretty good egos, but we get along great. He's a great guy and a delight to work with,
yes.
Really.
Yes, he certainly is. When was the first time you fellows got together, and what were the circumstances?
Well, it actually was in 1941. Up in Milwaukee. He and a group of Chicagoans purchased the Milwaukee Club, which was then in bankruptcy. And one of the liabilities that he inherited was Rudy Schaefer. So that's really how we got together.
Uh-huh.
And that's, as I say, it's been a great lifetime career, and we've had some ups and downs and had some great times, and we hope that this year, for example, we're going to have some real pleasant moments.
Yes. Well, they've got the wherewithal to do that.
Well, I think so. As a matter of fact, Bob, if you'll recall, in 1977, we made a pretty good run for it. And before coming out here today, I said, gee, I wonder how we compare to 1977. And by gosh, I looked it up, and at the end of 14 games, we were 9-5 in 1977, and we're 10-4. So we're even ahead of that pace. And if we can do that kind of work for a few months and really get a head start on this thing, we've got a real chance. We've got a real chance to have an exciting season and hopefully finish right up in the race.
Yeah. I tell you, the way I said before, I don't think one club, you were in baseball and so was I in the years that the Yankees dominated things. Nobody seems to dominate it anymore. It looks like almost anybody can win it.
Well, I tell you, one of the things that has happened over these years is that free agency thing. And what has happened now is that there's been a movement of players that never happened before. If you'll remember back in the, shall we say, the good old days, I hate to use that phrase, but nevertheless, when you had a player and he became a fixture for you. I'm talking about the Louis Aparicios, the Nelly Foxes, those kind of people. They never went anyplace else. They were a White Sox. Period.
Yeah.
And this has changed now because look at the Yankees. The Yankees have more White Sox on them than they have good old Yankees, really,
yeah.
when you really stop and think about it. So there's been a big change in this whole thing. On our club, for example, I was looking at our roster. We've got three kids on our ball club that were born the year we won a pennant here, 1959. Now, that's strange, isn't it? And the other side of the coin is that we have three players on our ball club that are over 30 years of age. So that our mean age for our ball club is about 24, 25 years of age. And that's why we've got the kind of a club we have. It's a young, aggressive club. And that's why Tony La Russa fits in this picture. He can communicate with these boys, and he's got them stirred up, and they're going to be a bunch of battlers all the way.
Yes, I believe that. I think he's a real good man for the job.
Well, I think it was just a 10 strike to get him, and we're so happy and pleased, and I hope I can say that in October too.
Well, now, because you've been in baseball a long time, and the destinies of baseball fluctuates as it figures to do every year, what about a few of the highlights of your career?
Well, of course, the one highlight of our career, and I have to include Bill in this because it was a high spot, and that came many years ago, as a matter of fact, in 1948 in Cleveland when we won the American League Championship and the World Series. And even in that year, why we didn't do it all that gracefully, because as you remember, why we ended in a tie with Boston, and we had to play the first playoff game in the history of Major League Baseball, and fortunately we won that game up in Fenway Park, and then went on to beat, incidentally, the Boston Braves in the World Series. And if there was ever a high spot, I would have to guess that was it for us. Because not only did we do all those good things, but we set a new attendance record in the major leagues that it took many years before it was broken.
I can tell you one of the starting pitchers in that game. Galehouse.
That's right. And we had a couple pretty good arms, if you'll remember, including fellas like Feller and Bearden and so on. But no, we had some great ball players, and but that was really a high spot.
Because of the years that you've spent in baseball, you've seen its ups and downs and its problems and lack of problems and so on and so forth. How do you view the stability of the game today? What are the problems on the doorstep?
Well, the problems really are economic. They're economic problems, and in this day and age, with players being compensated the way they are, and don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to say that that they shouldn't be compensated properly. But I think there are some exorbitant salaries, and I think the owners are responsible for that. But at the same time, take our situation. We don't happen to believe in the same things that some of the other club owners believe in, and we don't have the resources to believe the same things. So that we are operating on a different kind of a basis than they are. But at the same time, When you have the escalating salaries, with these other clubs, it obviously affects all the clubs because that basement figure, that figure is always coming up. And so that I would say that our average salary is somewhere, between $100,000 and $125,000 a year for our players. And they're all kids. So that, it's an economic thing. So if you're paying out that kind of money, for example, let me say it another way. The Cubs have a relief pitcher that is earning some $700,000 this year.
Suter.
I'm sorry. In 1948, the club that I was just talking about, the Cleveland club, which was a great club, the entire salaries of the whole club was less than Mr. Suter's salary this year. Now, that's why I say this is an economic problem.
Well, would you say, as you try to analyze the situation in baseball today, that the players have taken the play away from the owners? How did the owners get into this corner in the first place?
Well, the owners just walked in. there's nothing in the books to say that... Let's take the Cleveland club this year, this past winter. They signed a fellow that we refused to give the kind of money that he was expecting to. A fellow by the name of Orta. Just a good player, a real good hitter, but he never really starred for us. But he wanted more than we thought we could afford, or more than we thought he was worth. Yet he goes over to Cleveland, and he, I think, is signed to a 5-year contract with something like $300,000 a year. Well, yep. You know, who twisted their arms to sign this boy? Nobody did. They did it all by themselves. So who's to blame? You can't blame Orta for taking it. So you have to blame the owner for giving it. So that you say, why? What's happened? Well, the owners made it happen.
Why, with everything seemingly going so good, do we find that we hear talk of a player's strike? For what?
Well, it's not for money. No, it's not for money. It's one of those sort of things that is an involved thing, and basically what it represents is something that I think has been written about in the newspapers and that we all know is that the owners would like compensation for a free agent. In other words, getting back to the Orta thing again. In other words, if what the owners are now trying to do would have been in effect this past year, then the Cleveland club would have had to give us a player off of their roster because they signed Orta. Mm-hmm. Now, the players feel that if this happens, that the player, the free agent, then will get less money, less in bonuses and or salary or combination thereof because of this. And this is really what they're fighting for. They're fighting for the guy that may become a free agent next year or the year after that. And they want him to be on that same basis where he's going to get all the marbles.
Having been in baseball a long time, as you have, and having had a lot of experience, if someone came along today who you knew and had a lot of money and he said to you, Rudy, I'm thinking of investing in a big league ball club. What advice would you give him? Is it a good investment today?
I say buy some T-bonds. People really don't buy ball clubs for investment purposes. They buy it because of the game itself and because they would like an ego trip. Mm-hmm. Really, the ownership of a ball club turns a spotlight on the individual. And whether you're talking about a Ted Turner, who you never heard of before he got into baseball, or a lot of these other fellas, because all of a sudden, you know, people are talking to him and his picture is in the paper and he's got some prestige that he never would get in 100 years in the steel business or whatever other business you could think of. So I think, in answer to your question, it's a good investment for that purpose. It's a good investment for Ray Kroc, for example, because he's got all the money that he'll ever need. He can't possibly spend it, but he had a childhood dream. He had a childhood dream that someday he wanted to own a major league ball club, and with all the money that he's got, why not?
That's right. Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him as an old friend, Rudy Schaefer, the business manager of the White Sox. We'll be back with our guest in just about 1 minute. Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him, is an old friend, Rudy Schaefer, the business manager of the Chicago White Sox and a man who's been associated with our great national pastime for a long, long time. It does seem like a long time for both of us, Rudy. How many years is it for you?
Well,
40?
No, it's a little longer than that, because on May 13th, which is not too far away now, let's see, I started on May 13th, 1935, so that would be, 45 years ago? Uh-huh. That just seems like yesterday.
It does.
I've enjoyed it so much that it doesn't seem like a long time to me.
You were in baseball when baseball, Major League Baseball, had a natural feeder of talent with the structure of the minor leagues. The Coast League, the American Association, the Eastern League, and all that. Now that's gone. The minors are practically dissipated, right?
That's right. Well, the whole thing has changed, Bob. When I started in, as I say, in 1935 in Milwaukee, we had our own scouts, and we really didn't have scouts, but we just had bird dogs. And the whole state of Wisconsin was our territory. You know, and you didn't have other people horning in on your territory. And the result was that we signed a lot of players that came right out of the state of Wisconsin. Now let me tell you something. You remember fellas like Ken Keltner, Chet Labs. How about Johnny Schmitz,
very well.
Dave Kozlowski, as he was known in baseball.
Yeah.
Andy Pafko. We signed all those people. We signed all those players for the Milwaukee club. Really? Now this, I know it's hard to believe, but this is the big change that has taken place. When you say the farm clubs, we were our own farm club, and the result was that we didn't have the competition that you have today, where every major league club has got scouts from one end of the country to the other, looking for the best talent. We had it all to ourselves, and with the result that we signed some players that were major leaguers and major leaguers for a long time, good ones.
Yeah. Rudy, with the structure of baseball, what is baseball doing today, rule-wise or any otherwise, let's say the draft or other things, to help the have-nots, to help the clubs that are going nowhere?
No. I don't think it'll ever change. It's funny. I know we went to a league meeting here. It's now a couple months ago. And actually the league meeting was called because we were raising a lot of commotion about it. Because the question at that time was what was going to happen to Oakland? Because it was going to move. It wasn't going to move, you know. And Charlie Finley had closed up his whole operation in Oakland. So we called a meeting of the American League to discuss what the American League, what the members of the American League were going to do with this if something happened, if something had to happen. Well, I got news for you. Nobody could care less. Nobody could care less. And in a way, you see, maybe that's good. And in a way, of course, it's very bad. But this is a very competitive game, and you got to do it on your own, and sure that's tough luck, but it's the survival of the fittest, and the guy on top isn't about to help you if you're in the bottom.
Well, I don't think that's entirely illogical to you.
No, I don't. But at the same time, I got news for you. When you're that guy on the bottom, you're hoping and praying that somebody would come along and help. But I remember when we were with the St. Louis Browns, and you know the old first in shoes, first in booze, and last in the American League. Well, that's where we were. So that my gosh, you know, do you think somebody would help us? You know, they'd help us. They'd come and kick the bejesus out of us. You know, that's how they'd help us. But we survived, and perhaps we became better operators because of it.
Like everybody else, I've always been very fond of Bill Veeck, who's just a terrific guy. What would you say his strong suit is in relationship to the ownership of a big league club? What is, would you say, are his number one or number two talents?
Well, his number one talent is the mere his great ability to communicate with everybody. I think he just has a feel for the fan that's sitting in the seats. That's the greatest thing in the world. The other thing that he gets very little credit for. He gets credit for being the oddball, the innovator, and all those sort of things. And that's great. But the one thing that people overlook is ability to judge talent. And he does a very respectable job of that. What the fans are going to see this year at Comiskey Park are products of his scouting ability or ability to judge players, appraise talent, yes. And people overlook that. So in those three categories, that's where he really shines.
Well, now, the writers who write about the White Sox and write about baseball, one of the things they talk about is all of a sudden, you fellows have come up with a lot of good young pitching. And well, you and I know that's the name of the ball game.
Well, that's right. As you'll remember, Connie Mack said that's 80% of the ball game. And yet, all these young pitchers that you're talking about, they've all been signed since we got here. They've been signed since 1976. And it's been great. And of course, he surrounds himself with good people. Whether you're talking about Roland Heeman or you're talking about Paul Richards, who heads our farm development program,
or Rudy Schaefer.
Well, I play a very little part in the whole thing.
Well, I know, but you're pretty astute when it comes to baseball, and you should be. You've been in it now a long time.
Well, hey, if something doesn't rub off in 45 years, why then I ought to look to do something else. Incidentally, we're doing a very interesting thing this year. We're having this Hall of Fame sweepstakes, and you're a Hall of Fame member, so I think it's very apropos that we talk about it, and actually, the fans don't have to buy anything. They don't have to do much of anything except get one of our schedules. And there's a little form on there that they can enter this thing. And we've got some great prizes. We got over 1,000 prizes that we're going to give away.
A nice trip for the first one.
A trip for a family of four to Cooperstown. We're going to play in Cooperstown. We're going to play the Pittsburgh Pirates there on August 4th. And I think it's a great thing. So we've got, that's the top prize. And then we've got a microwave oven. And then we've got, for example, something right here. This is a bottle of Coke.
Yeah. What is that? A radio receiver?
It's a radio. It's a radio. I
see. Yeah.
So that's one of the prizes. There's 100 of these that are going to be included.
Very clever.
We got Hall of Fame posters, and then we got a whole flock of tickets that we're giving away. It's a great thing, it's on all of our schedules, and I really hope that people will enter. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I think they'll enjoy it. Yeah.
Don't you agree, analyzing all the clubs in baseball, that it's wide open this year? Anybody can win in every division.
I think you're absolutely right. I would like to be able to sit here and say that we're going to win it. I really,
you got a good chance.
We got a chance. We got an excellent chance, and we're going to try to win it. But we've got a young ball club, and a lot of things can happen between now and October 5th, which is the end of the season. So that we're going to keep our fingers crossed, and, you know, we're going to keep charged up, and we're going to try. I don't think anybody's got a lock on anything. Whether you're talking about the Pirates or Cincinnati or the Dodgers or Kansas City or the Yankees, anybody, nobody has a lock on this thing, and it's going to be a great season of baseball. I really believe that.
I feel the same way. Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him, is an old friend, Rudy Schaefer, the business manager of the White Sox. We'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Our guest today is Rudy Schaefer, the business manager of the White Sox, and a longtime associate of Bill Veeck, who is really and truly not only a nice guy, but a remarkable man. I've always been very, very fond of him, and he's the kind of a guy, whether you see him in the morning or at night, you have a feeling his brain pan is going around.
That's right. Oh, yes, it's wheeling all the time. Even the mere fact that I've been around him so long, he still surprises me. I think that's great, because I think that's what keeps us young, because we listen and we hear and we try.
Now the Sox are opening a homestand, right?
Bob, yes we are. We're back home on Monday. We've got Boston here for three night games on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then following that, Milwaukee comes in for Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then following Kansas City. This perhaps is the toughest opening schedule that we've ever had. For now, we will be practically 6 weeks of top competition. We haven't played any of the so-called dogs or soft touches, and maybe they'll kick the bejesus out of us, but we've had a tough schedule, and if we could survive this, there's no telling where we can go, because this has really been tough, because when you start with Baltimore and Boston and New York, and then follow up with Milwaukee, who's got a terrific ball club, Kansas City, why, yeah. If you can survive that, you're off to a running start. That's right.
Rudy, I want to thank you for making the trip over here today. It's always a pleasure to boost and to talk about the White Sox and you and Bill Veeck, and we've all been friends for so long. Really hope you fellows have a great year.
Well, thank you, Bob. It's always a pleasure to come here. We have many friends up this way, and I love to come here, so please keep inviting me. Thank you.
Thanks for being with us. Our guest today has been Rudy Schaefer. He spent practically 90% of his life so far in baseball and been associated with this great game. Well, have a nice day. And now this is Bob Elson saying goodbye until next Saturday at our usual time.